find in the book of Matthew, chapter number 14. The book of Matthew, chapter 14. I wanted to preach a message out of the book of Numbers, but God won't let me tonight. I don't know why. God's got me in a different direction tonight. I studied it out. Brother Mike had called me, told me about a month ago I'd be ready to go on May the 4th. And I started studying the Word of God. And, you know, a lot of times you think you better write your plans down in pencil because God don't always have it that way. But I want to bring a message out of the book of Matthew, chapter number 14. The Bible says in verse number 22, "And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him." I said, "Go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with the waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went in them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit, and they cried out for fear. But Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come to thee on the water. And he said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, beginning to sink. He cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said, O thou of little faith, wherefore did thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, Of a truth, thou art the Son of God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this night. Lord, I thank you for your good grace to us and your good mercy. Lord, I thank you for the Word of God tonight that is truth, Lord. Thank you for all you do for our church, Lord, our church family. Lord, bless my pastor as he's away preaching tonight. I pray, Lord, you bless all of our teachers tonight. You give them what they need for our kids, Lord. Thank you for all you do for us in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm interested in this verse tonight. It's verse number 31. It says, And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And I want to preach this message tonight. He will not let you down. He will not let you down. There's been times in my life where the Lord should have let me down. He should have thrown me away. He should have gave me away. I was bad. I wasn't doing what I was supposed to do, and the Lord should have let me down. But I'm going to tell you tonight, by His Word and by the power of God, He has never let me down. There's been times that I thought He had, and I thought He wasn't going to come through. But I'm going to tell you what happened. By God Himself and only God, He's walked right into my life and stepped right into my situation. And when I should have fell flat on my face, there He was. I'm sure there's some people in here tonight that can testify that tonight. When God shouldn't have showed up, He showed up anyway. I want to say it's because He will not let you down. I say Moses found that He wouldn't let him down in serving times. Moses found at the Red Sea, when he stood up with his back to the wall against the Red Sea, and all the Egyptian army was coming to take over Moses, Moses figured out that God would not let him down. I want to say Paul, in suffering times, Paul suffered greatly for the cause of Christ. As a matter of fact, Paul said this in the book of Philippians. He said that I may know Him in the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death. Paul figured out that even in his suffering times, God would not let him down. He's not going to let Paul down. He's not going to let Moses down. And I'm going to say this tonight, He's not going to let you down either. Not only that, David found out in sinful times that He wouldn't let him down. Y'all remember the sin that David committed with Bathsheba, don't you? But remember in the book of Psalms, chapter number 51, that there was something that happened in David's life where he figured out that he could get forgiveness. And David figured out that he said that he cried out and he said in the book of Psalms, I think it's in verse number 12, he said, Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. David figured out that even in shameful and sinful times that God would not let him down. Tonight, you're going to find in our reading of our text some disciples that were out in the midst of the sea. They'll find out that their God would not let them down. I want to say, first of all, in deep water, He walks where nobody else walks. In deep water, He walks where nobody else walks. How many of y'all are glad you got your Bible tonight? I'm fixing to show you something that some man of God showed me years ago, and it's always stuck with me. Look down in verse number 25. It said this, "And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went on them walking on the," what's that last word? Sea. If you look down in the next verse, look what it says. Verse number 26. "And when the disciples saw Him walking on the sea." You see, there's something that, if you've got a Bible tonight, you're holding in your hand the best thing that you ever held. And the man of God taught me this, talking about that word sea. We all know what the sea is. It's the ocean, right? We all know that the earth, 70% of the earth's surface is water, isn't it? But it was something about that deep water there, talking about the sea. What's so significant about the word sea? In your yard, you may have a little stream that you can walk across and you can step in, and it may get your feet wet. And if our Bible would have said He just walked in a little stream, everybody said, "Oh yeah, well Jesus can walk on a little stream, can't He?" But let me tell you what that stream does. It may flow to a little brook, and that brook may flow to a little creek. And that little creek may flow to a little river. And that river may flow on down to where you see the gulf and the ocean and the sea. The sea is where every body of water empties itself into. Jesus is able to walk on the sea. The Bible never said that Peter walked on the sea, did it? It said He walked on the water. There was significance in that word sea. It means that Jesus could walk where nobody else walks. Nobody else ever walked on the sea but Jesus Himself. Peter may have walked on the water, and there may be times in your life where things are bubbling up and it's over your head. But I'm going to tell you tonight, Jesus will walk right into your trouble, and He'll walk where nobody else walks. When somebody's turned their back on you and somebody's walked away and they're no longer to be found, somebody that may have been your familiar friend that walked to you with you hand in hand to the house of God. And I'll tell you who's there with you tonight. There may be times when your pastor can't be with you. Your Sunday school teacher can't be with you. But I'll tell you who's with you all the way. Jesus walking hand in hand, because He walks where nobody else walks tonight. He came to them walking on the sea. Somebody in here tonight, your ship may be rocking to and fro, and you don't know which way's up or which way's down. But I'm going to tell you tonight, Jesus walks where nobody else walks. And you can take comfort in God's Word that He came walking to them on the sea tonight. He came to them on the sea. He will not let you down, because He walks where nobody else walks. You say, what's so significant about that? In verse number 22, it said His disciples. How many of y'all know the disciples? We all know Peter, James, and John, and their 12 disciples. You know what most of them's background was in? It was in fishing, wasn't it? And let me tell you what fishing involves. It involves a boat, doesn't it, most of the time? A lot of these guys, they were what you would consider a commercial fisherman. They had a boat. These guys were trained on the sea. They knew all about the sea, the Galilee. They knew where to go. They knew where to fish. They knew how to get that boat to the other side. Sometimes God will let things come up in your life where ordinary things you think you can complete, no longer can complete them without Him. You can't walk into Him on the sea. The personnel in that boat, they thought, man, Jesus just sending us over to the other side. The Bible said He went up to a mountain to part to pray, and He stayed there, and He sent them out into the midst of the sea. Those guys probably thought, man, I got this. I've been on this lake before. I know where to put my boat in. I know exactly how to put that GPS compass and go over to the other side. I don't need any help. How many of y'all ever been on a big boat in the middle of the sea? I know Brother Howard's here tonight. I never forget this. We went on a cruise, a vacation, and my son, he was a little bitty child at the time. He's probably, I don't know, maybe 3 or 4 years old. I remember we had a window in our room, and he'd sit up in that window, and he'd say, "Wawa, Daddy, wawa." He'd look out there and see that big sea. I remember a big storm got up on that sea, and I remember a guy come knocked on our door. He said, "I need to put a plate over y'all's window." I said, "What?" "A plate." He said, yeah. He said, there's a storm coming. We need to put a plate on y'all's window so that the sea wouldn't come in and bust the glass on the window where we was at. We was right there. We was above the water, but I mean, and we started getting in that thing, and I'm going to tell you, that boat started rocking and like this, and people have your tea glass on the table, and it was sliding back and forth. I'm telling you, the wind can get up, and things can change. Somebody in here tonight, the winds may have got up in your life, but I'm here to tell you tonight, Jesus walks where nobody else will walk. He'll be with you in trouble. He'll be with you if you can't make it to the other side. These disciples thought, man, the easiest thing I can do is make it to the other side. But they didn't know what was ahead of them tonight. Talking about the personnel on the boat. Not only that, you'll notice their position. In verse number 24, it says, but the ship was now in the midst of the sea. There's a significance about the word midst. That means it's in the middle. That means it's just as far to go that way as it is to turn around and go back. Sometimes God lets you get right in the middle of it. And He'll say, it's going to be up to you. Do you want to go forward or do you want to go back? And let me tell you this. If you're not careful, you'll go back. You'll go back. Let me say this, though. God doesn't want you to. If we're in the first verse that we read, in verse number 22, He said, He constrained His disciples to get into a ship and to go before Him to the other side. Jesus had told them, you're going to the other side. He didn't say, when you got to the middle, turn around and go back because things got too tough. You see, we live in a day where people will turn around and bail out when things get tough. I'll tell you what your Christianity will show. It'll show you when things get tough if you'll go back or you'll go forward. It'll reveal that. It'll manifest that. It'll always manifest that. It was just enough. They got into the midst of the sea, and it was just enough to go forward as it was to go back. I was reading after one man about the Sea of Galilee. He said it was 13 miles long and 8 miles wide. It was a pretty good piece of way. You say, it's bigger than Lake Widawi. Let me put it that way. You can get out in the middle of that, and you probably can't see land. You know, I've been in a lot of bodies of water, and I'm all right as long as I can see land. You get me out there in the middle of the sea, and that boat starts rocking like that, and it's doing like this and going up and down. I'll tell you what, it'll make you sick sometimes. But here we find that the disciples were in the midst of the sea. They was right in the middle of it. And not only were they in the midst of the sea and right in the middle of it, it was the darkest part of the night. The Bible said it was the fourth watch of the night. Most people say that's anywhere from 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. That's when there's more. It's so dark outside. I remember one time a man took me deep sea fishing, and it was an overnight trip. And I was excited. I remember he called me. We got out of church here on Sunday night. He said, if you can be in Birmingham by midnight, I'll take you deep sea fishing. So I said, I'd love to do that. I can remember driving all the way down to Gulf Shores, and we got Orange Beach, and they took us out on a boat. And I never had been much deep sea fishing, and much less, I'd never been out there at night. I remember we fished all day. I'd been up all night. We drove from church. We got out here on Sunday night, drove all the way down there. We turned around from Birmingham, went straight on down to Orange Beach, got on a boat, and we immediately, they took us 3 or 4 hours out in the midst of the Gulf, and we began fished all day, and it got night. And I never had been in the ocean at night, but I began to notice something out there at night that I didn't notice during the day. I remember there's some oil rigs out there that had those lights out there that you could see for way off, you could see the lights. But I remember that boat, when it went down, I couldn't see those lights anymore. I never had seen it where the waves on that little boat was in, the waves would go up like that, and it had light shining out on both sides of the boat, and the waves was over the boat. I never had noticed that before during the daytime, but at night I could see that. You think about those disciples as they begin to row out there in the midst of the sea, how fear came over their mind and over their body as they began to row, and the wind had got up and the storm had got up. But let me say this, here comes Jesus. He will not let you down. Because in deep water, He walks where nobody else walked. Jesus came walking to Him on the sea. Let me say this. Secondly, He will not let you down because of deep water. But I want to say this. He will not let you down in doubting witnesses. Why? He sees what nobody else sees. If you'll look down in your Bible tonight, look in verse number 26. It said, when the disciples saw Him walking on the sea and were troubled, saying, it is a spirit. You see, when they saw Jesus out there walking on the sea, they said, I don't even know who that is. It looks like a spirit. but it was actually Jesus himself. And I began to think about what Jesus was doing at the time when he sent his disciples out. He went up in the mountain alone to pray, and he sent them before him to the other side. And I began to think about Jesus. He sees what nobody else sees. You see, people may not think much of the shepherd, but let me say this about the shepherd. The shepherd is always concerned about the sheep. The shepherd is always concerned about the sheep. There's a man of God that sits there every Sunday morning. There's an assistant pastor, and Brother James is pastor, and he knows this. He always knows about the sheep that's around him and his flock. He cares for the sheep and his flock. Jesus, when he sent those 12 disciples out, he didn't say, I'm going to send them out there and they're all alone. No doubt, as he began to pray, he knew that the storm was about to get up. No doubt, he probably even orchestrated that storm to come up on the disciples just so he could show himself and manifest himself in a special way to those disciples. He sees what nobody else sees tonight. There may be somebody here tonight and think all hope's gone and that you'll never get something back or something's not going to go your way. But I'm going to tell you what, there's a Jesus who's seeing what's going on. The psalmist said this in Psalm 33. He said, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he has chosen for his own inheritance." Listen to this. "For the Lord looketh from heaven. He beholdeth all the sons of men from place of his habitation. He looketh upon all the inhabitants of the earth. He fashioneth their hearts alike. He considereth all their works. There is no king save by the multitude of an host. A mighty man is delivered by much strength. A horse is a vain thing for safety. Neither shall he deliver by any great strength." But listen to this. "Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine." I'm glad tonight, before the all-seeing eye of God, he knows exactly where I am, no matter if I'm by myself, no matter whether I'm my family. There's been times that I thought I was on alone, but I could take rest tonight in the fact that God saw me as an all-seeing eye of God, that he sees something that nobody else sees. Not only that tonight, I see he walks where nobody else walks. I want to say this, he sees what nobody else sees. But thirdly, I want to say he speaks what nobody else speaks tonight. Look down in verse number 27. He said this, "But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." I noticed this about Jesus, he always gives words of cheer. Somebody asked me one time, they say, "How do you know if it's the devil or if it's of Jesus?" The devil always accuses me. I don't know about y'all, but every time he comes to me about something, he's always accusing me before God. Y'all remember in the book of Revelation what he's doing? He's accusing the brethren day and night. How do you know the difference in Jesus and you know in the devil? Every time Jesus comes to me, he's always come to me with words of cheer. "It is I. Be not afraid." Not only words of cheer, but words of comfort. The devil ain't never comforted me. He's always lit more fire under me than I can stand tonight. But Jesus always brings comfort. That's what he did to those disciples as they got out there in the midst of the sea, in the middle, and that wind got up, and they no longer could see all the light of day, and waves crashing in on the boat, and it's tossing them to and fro. Let me say what he did. He gave them words of comfort. I remember the story of Elijah. Y'all remember the story of Elijah? Old Ahab and Jezebel had come on his case. And Elijah, the man that just called fire down from heaven in 1 Kings chapter number 17 and saw God do great things and destroy the altars of Baal by fire. And Elijah called it down from heaven. And a couple of chapters later on, he found himself wishing that himself would die. Elijah was a man that needed words of comfort at times. Let me say this tonight. Each one of us needs words of comfort. And that's what Jesus brings to us. I was reading statistics. And it said this, it said that in 2020, that 8.5% of people to struggle with depression, 8.5. They said through COVID and the things that happened with COVID in 2021, you know what that statistic jumped up to? It was 27%. That means you went from 1 in 10 people having depression to 1 in 4 having depression. That's a big jump in a statistic. I'll tell you that tonight. Jesus bring words of comfort tonight. Let me say this. He brought words of comfort to Elijah. You see, Elijah, he wished for himself to die. And the Bible said that an angel came to him and fed him. And it said, Elijah looked for God. And let me say, he said, the Bible said he looked for him in the wind and he couldn't find him. Then it said he looked for him in the earthquake and he couldn't find him. Then he said, look for him in the fire, and he couldn't find him. But let me tell you what, talking about he speaks where what nobody else can speak. He said, but then a still, small voice. Let me say this tonight. You've got your Bible in your hand, and you go home to read at night. You know what I'm looking for when I read my Bible? I'm looking for that speech. You know what it is from that still, small voice. When I get down and pray in my altar, you know what I'm looking for? I'm looking for that speech that nobody else can speak from that still, small voice that's inside. God is looking to speak to His people tonight. And let me tell you what He does. He speaks what nobody else can speak tonight. Words of comfort. Not only that, He had words that were convincing. He told Peter in verse number 29, He said these words, come. He had convincing words. And that leads me to my last point tonight, and I'll be done. You see, He will not let you down because in deep water He walks where nobody else walks. In doubting witnesses, He sees what nobody else sees. In despairing winds, He speaks what nobody else can speak. But I want to say this lastly. In drowning words, He lifts what nobody else can lift. Look what He said to Peter here in verse number 27. Verse number 28. He said, and Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be Thou, bid me to come to Thee on the water. And He said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. You'll notice there that Peter had faith. Let me say this tonight. If Peter had faith to walk on the water, and Jesus said that was little faith, where would big faith take us tonight? Where would big faith take us tonight if we actually believed that what Jesus said was what we did? Where would that take us tonight as a church? Where would that take us tonight as a Christian if we actually took God at His word and said, whatever God said, if God said it, that settles it. You may say this, in drowning words, He lifts what nobody else lifts. Peter, he lost all. We all know the story. Peter began to walk on the water to Jesus, and the wind became boisterous, and Peter took his eyes off the Lord, didn't he? He lost his focus. And you know what he did when he lost his focus? You know what he did? He lost his faith. I noticed in this world that we live in, it's easy for us to lose our focus. There's things going on all around us to keep us busy. My son's graduated from high school. Guess what? Every day it's something. It's go do this, go do that. We've got to take care of this. We've got to take care of that. And if you're not careful, those little things, we got to go play ball. We got to go to this one. We got to go to see that one. And this one's happening. And this is broke. And this is that. You know what it is? We begin to lose our focus. And if we're not careful with losing our focus, we begin to lose our faith. Not to say you're losing your salvation, but let me tell you what. Where you was once ready to go to Jesus on the water, now you wouldn't even get out of the ship. You wouldn't even dare to step out on the ship because you done lost your focus and then lost your faith. Because it's easy to get distracted in this old world that we live in. Not only that, we see Peter's faith, his focus, but I want to say lastly that Peter had a fall. Look what he did in verse number 30. It says, but when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and began to sink. He cried, saying, Lord, save me. Look what the Bible said. I love what the Bible said. It didn't say he let him go down. To where his head went beneath the water, and he didn't think Jesus was going to do anything about it. There's been times that the Lord should have let my head go underneath the water. As a matter of fact, He probably should have held my head underneath the water, but He didn't. It's just what it said in the Bible. It said immediately. I like that word. You know what that means? Peter had faith in him. He said immediately he went down and caught him. You know why? Because Jesus lifts what nobody else could lift. You see, all those disciples, all those fishermen, all those people that Peter had been around all that time, none of them stepped out to help him out. But I'm going to tell you who did. There was a man named Jesus. The Bible said he immediately stretched forth his hand and caught him. I'm glad tonight that Jesus can lift what nobody else can lift. The Bible in the book of Proverbs chapter 24, verse 16 says, for a just man falleth seven times and rises up again. The book of Ecclesiastes says in chapter 4, verse number 9, it says, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe unto him who is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. I'm glad tonight, in drowning words, he lists what nobody else lists. Let me say this in closing. Jesus won't let you down. You're looking at a man up here, and I'll probably let you down. If you stay around me long enough, in some form or some fashion, I will probably let you down. I mean, I'll just be as honest as man can be up here. I'll probably will let you down. There'll be something that I'll do that's not satisfactory in your eyes. But I'm here tonight to point you to one. And his name's the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what he'll do? He'll never let you down. I'm glad the Bible said he'd never leave us nor forsake us. I'm glad tonight, no matter where I'm at, if I'm on the backside of the desert, I can't get away from the all-seeing eyes of God. He will never leave thee nor forsake thee. I'm glad tonight Jesus knows where we are. He knows how we're doing it. And he knows what's ahead of us. I'm glad tonight he will not let you down. Somebody in here tonight may be thinking, God's let me down. I hope through this message that God has touched you and said he won't let me down. I can stand here and testify that he's never let me down. I didn't say everything went my way. I didn't say that because it hadn't. Everything hadn't went my way. But I want to say this. He's never let me down, Brother Mike.